All right, you're back in the DFSR. It's an NFL podcast. It's Tuesday. It's December 11th. I'm Doug Norrie. That is
James Davis
from DailyFantasySportsRankings.com, DFSR.com for short. As always, DFSR.com/deals. Gets you a free 7-day trial to our projection system powered by our good friends over at Lineup Labs. That's a deal that you only get if you listen to the podcast, DFSR.com/deals. Optimal lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings, NFL, NBA, premium articles, premium chat, which people are in there every single night, kind of just sweating sports, tilting about sports, celebrating. It's all good. Developing a nice little community over here at DFSR. So go check it out, DFSR.com/deals. Think you'll be around with us for the long haul. Buddy, week 14 is in the books. It was a crazy week, man. There was a couple parlays that if you parlayed some of these underdogs together, like Oakland wins. Who else won that was an underdog? Oakland. Oh, the Miami game, which was like just legit an insane way for it to finish. Is this like...
Giants 50-point win or whatever.
Right, yeah, they were up 40-0 or whatever at halftime. Is this a gentle reminder that football, these teams are always just a little closer than we think they are? Like, it's easy to say, oh, New Orleans lost. New Orleans won, but it looked like they were looking on shaky ground early. This team is so much better than this one, and there's the haves and have-nots, and then we just kind of get a week like this where, I don't know, some bad teams won. Is football just closer than we think it is on a game-by-game basis? Sometimes it seems like there's should be heavy favorites, and then sometimes it just doesn't work out that way.
I think football is one of the lower variance single-game games that we have for the most part. I think there's definitely obviously some variance, but it's nothing on the order of like baseball or something like that. I don't know. It's actually tricky as you really think through the types of things that can go wrong for a team in a given game. I think football is up there. I like the degree to which turnovers can really turn a game. I don't know. Injuries, obviously. I'd have to think about it. I think that in general, no. There's some pretty great distances between the great teams and the bad ones. I just think also that small sample sizes can confuse people to make people think that teams are better or worse than they actually are. So,
and the small sample size, I mean, this is kind of off the topic of what I just brought up, but small sample sizes are also the things that people can screw people up on a week-to-week basis just in terms of DFS, because you can look at a huge week from a single player and try to begin translating that kind of opportunity or that kind of usage into the next week or going forward, and then
right. We
see more times, not more times than not, you know, we see often that that just isn't always the case. And we had some outlier games this week. Some games I think we were kind of right on. I'm kind of patting ourselves on the back in terms of where we placed some of this running back opportunity from last week, because we were almost completely on what some of these guys were. But we'll go through some of the stuff that happened in week 14. Take a look ahead to week 15, which is going to be a weird week because we have a Thursday game and then we have two Saturday games and then obviously the regular Sunday and Monday night. But we're already taking a lot of fantasy relevant guys off the board with these other games because the Chargers and Chiefs play on Thursday. The Rams play Sunday night. New Orleans and Carolina play Monday night. That's just a lot of guys that we consider on a week-to-week basis. So we are left a little bit of some table scraps in terms of DFS, but we'll kind of get into where we're looking ahead for week 15 and back to week 14. Let's look at some of these quarterback performances. Brady was the top quarterback of the week with 3 touchdowns. Overall, kind of a low-scoring quarterback week. Anything stand out to you besides the Josh Johnson third highest fantasy quarterback playing just the second half, taking over for Mark Sanchez? But anything stand out to you from a quarterback perspective this week?
The young god, Josh Johnson. Get ready. I think I mirror your thoughts. Quarterback overall was pretty underwhelming. The way to get there for big tournaments was to play Dak or Jameis. Those were the two. Although one thing that amazes me about just DFS in general is the top overall lineup that won the million on FanDuel, or one, I guess it was a 300,000. You could have just made a straight swap, Jameis for Dak, and had a score that was 6 points higher. Like, but just nobody made that exact lineup. I just think that's right. Amazing that, you know.
One thing about Dak real quick. So my brother-in-law texted me during the week. He's like, this is my cash game lineup. I don't remember who was in it, but I know it had Dak, Elliott, and Cooper in it. And he was like, and had some other guys. And he was like, he's like, I think this way you get this thing and you get to capture all the Dallas offense. I was like,
yeah, that's he's listened to the podcast, dude.
My response was, why would you want to prioritize just capturing all the Dallas offense? Was my exact response. That did not age well. As Saturday or Sunday at 4, I don't know, around, excuse me, 6 p.m. was rolling around when they were just, all these guys were just scoring in buckets. Anyway, do you see, like, I mean, Dak threw 54 passes. Do you think he's going to be on the main slate? Is in a good matchup this week? How much do you want to put this Cowboys offense as being like sort of like a prolific offense with these three guys? Are they getting there at this point? They had huge games, especially the Dak to Cooper thing with the 3 touchdowns.
Yeah, I think the Cooper thing is possibly legit. You know, he's been very efficient since moving over to Dallas, and obviously Dak is really relishing having someone who's actually NFL caliber at the wide receiver position. And I guess you could throw it the other way. Cooper's actually relishing having an NFL caliber quarterback. So 3 touchdowns, 10 receptions, 217 yards. I mean, everyone noticed the week he had at this point. Yeah, Cooper, absolutely legit. And I haven't even looked at his price for next week, but let me see here.
Well, while you're doing that,
he's 6,600 going up against Indy. So that's a price that you'll see. I don't want to say unanimous ownership, but he'll be very, very highly owned.
Since week 11, since week 10, I'm not going to go back any further than this. Cooper is the number one overall fantasy wide receiver. It's actually not even all that close. He's 5 points up on Juju, almost 10 points up on Tyreek. He's just been, since week 10, he's been the best fantasy wide receiver in the game. I mean, that's highlighted by two huge games, like the Thanksgiving game and that last game. They were blow out of the box games, but look, if you can do those twice in a year, that's just a real thing, right? Like, so, like, you know, you can have a wide
twice
receiver
in
game.
4 weeks, yeah.
That's what I mean. Like, and so I'm with you. The target share is for sure there. He's shown unbelievable high upside, especially in making some of those long plays, and they are using him to some degree in the possession game as well. So, it's starting to look all things like this is one of those teams where you can maybe, even though I poo-pooed it at the time through that text, maybe capturing this Dallas offense is just a viable strategy. Who else stood out to you at quarterback this week? So, like I said, some of these guys, like Aaron Rodgers, had trouble with some conversion stuff. Big Ben just randomly sat out to start the second half because of a rib injury, but then was fine to come back in, which is weird. The Steelers are such a mess. I don't think you saw this.
Okay,
note,
hold on a second. So back to the small sample size charade that's going on here. Can the Steelers really be such a mess given the way they've lost this last little stretch of games? Like, it's basically just been one play away for three games, right? So I think this is where you can run a little afoul of the small sample size problems, because like this game, they had the game won. They scored a touchdown with less than 2 minutes left in Oakland. Obviously, the Denver game was nuts. A Jacksonville game, I don't know.
I'm going to clarify why I said there was such a mess, because there was another piece coming after this. Tomlin had come out and said that Roethlisberger had been fine to come back in two series before, but because of the flow of the game, Tomlin did not want to bring the starting quarterback in because, like, Josh Dobbs was like in the flow of the game.
That was the
coda at the end of their such a mess thing. Yeah. Like, to not bring your starting quarterback in who was completing 86% of his passes or completed 86% of his passes during the game, and because the flow didn't feel right. It's like, you know, the DJ put the wrong song on the dance floor. It's just like not my time to get on there. And
it's like you're trying to figure out when you can leave church without disrupting everybody.
I like my thing was a DJ thing. Yours was church. It's interesting dichotomy about the examples. All right. And what else we missing here?
You're always just going out with the coolest DJs.
And you're always going to church. Yeah. So
I went to church plenty growing up, my friend. I think I went enough for the rest of us. So I think the Steelers and Antonio Brown, I think, what it continues to do for me is to demonstrate how important or how valuable safety is in the current NFL. One thing we talked about going into this week on our Friday Game by Game Breakdown podcast was that we were really trying to look at, you know, where the high floors were among the high-priced guys. And you saw, I mean, Barkley, McCaffrey, and Elliott all scored within 2 fantasy points of one another. Yep. And were all excellent, scoring basically 3x. And then if you shift over to wide receiver, you basically get just more insanity. And it was crazy because it was different earlier in the season. But this week, Julio Jones was basically the only expensive wide receiver that did anything. And last week, he caught one pass against Baltimore, right? So I think, you know, we're going to continue to prioritize paying up at running back going forward based on what we saw here. You know, you saw some interesting weeks that guys like T.Y. Hilton and, you know, Jarvis Landry right after we get off the podcast. I'm like, can he get any touchdowns? Doubles his touchdown total. Gets 2 touchdowns in the game. So
is that Landry you're talking about?
Yeah.
Well, Landry almost pulled
touched the ball 6 times, but he got 2 touchdowns this week.
He almost pulled the trifecta. He threw a ball. They did an end around trick play, and he threw the ball about 50 yards into the end zone and just missed. Maybe it was Callaway. The Callaway like just barely dropped it. He almost had the trifecta because he came very close to throwing for one as well. which would have been the real stamp on the entire week if that's how he had gone. Yeah, I mean, like,
yeah,
I'm with you. Like,
prior to
But some of these, yeah. So let's go to wide receiver first, I guess, then, because like, I don't know.
Yeah, I
don't
find quarterbacks on wide receivers.
Sure. Some of these quarterbacks games, I just don't find them to be that interesting either. But like these, the wide receiver ones are like Juju, another huge week, 12 targets. He Brown is continues to have so just some of these like either the targets aren't there or like the conversion isn't there. But I mean, at what point do we want to like vault Juju like up over Antonio Brown? Like, where do we kind of land with some of these guys? Because I want to talk about him. I want to talk a little about the Colts here. I do think there's some interesting kind of wide receiver games to break down.
Yeah, I mean, Juju right now is sliding into the old school Emmanuel Sanders role where it's just Antonio Brown being on the field makes it much easier on that wide receiver too to just look amazing. And we saw with Martavis Bryant, right? I mean, what's Martavis Bryant up to now that he's right off, you know, getting or basically being prioritized by opposing defenses? The reality is that you still have to respect Antonio Brown's team. Still do have to double cover him. The Steelers have demonstrated plenty of times that he could just punish the hell out of you if you don't. But Juju's obviously talented enough to where you just run out of coverage resources at some point. So I don't know that you can say which week is going to be which, but certainly in the last 4 weeks, the lowest Juju's been targeted was 9 times, and he's gotten up to the 17 target game in Denver. So yeah, the upside's through the roof here. Whether you want to play 7,800 for it coming in against the Patriots here, that's another question to me. But obviously for big tournaments, I mean, he's got to be on the very, very short list of guys who could absolutely do it for him.
Well, remember, I said that over since week 10, Cooper was the highest overall fantasy wide receiver. Juju is second.
Yeah,
Cooper,
he's got those two big games too. I mean, it's apparent that he's in that class.
Yeah, so, I mean, and then we've seen time and time again, I think this year, where Antonio Brown is just, I don't know, someone put out an article this week that was kind of, and it was sort of, it was 2 weeks ago, so I forget who did it, but I was kind of saying that Antonio Brown was just falling off a cliff, and we're just kind of all watching as it goes, and there was some analytics put into it about, like, you know, him, his separation, his ability to convert, and then he came out last week, or 2 weeks ago, and had a huge game, and then kind of reverted back to what we've seen in having some problematic games going forward. I don't know. This is one of those ones, in terms of overall target share, I'm fine, sort of, at this point, splitting them down the middle in terms of what we see from them. And it does seem like Juju's targets at this point just are worth a little bit more, maybe a lot of it more than what Brown is putting up there. And it's, we only have maybe 3 weeks left to sort of figure it out. And I'm not even sure there totally is something, anything to figure out. Other guys that we were sort of high on going into the week, I wanted to be a little higher on T.Y. Hilton, except that I was a little concerned with the injury, which is the only reason we didn't, because he was coming pretty cheap on DraftKings. He had a big game. He and Ebron, he saw something like 15 targets. Ebron got some targets as well. Are we, once again, they show they were not able to run the ball. This is in terms of Indy, and they had to end up throwing the ball a lot. Do we want to put T.Y. into that target share group of, you know, double-digit targets per game? Have we seen enough from him this season to kind of go there? He had 12 last week, finished with 9 receptions and 199 yards.
Yeah, it's been interesting actually to watch T.Y. Hilton's progression this season, because I think honestly restricting some of the downfield passes has actually made Hilton a more effective option for them. In the last 4 weeks, I think he's, I can't do the math fast enough off my head, 7 to 9 receptions in each of the last 4 weeks on 9 to 13 targets. Just a level of consistency that we've never seen out of T.Y. Hilton, because I think the temptation has always been there to utilize him as just like your dream big downfield option. But with the Colts playing a little bit more conservatively, you know, higher volume, shorter passing sort of game this season, it's actually unleashed Hilton and his great yards after the catch skills. So, yeah, I think Hilton, I mean, he's been dancing around our cash game lineups for weeks here. Like, I don't know if you've noticed this too, but he's like been on like the DraftKings 3 lineup or the FanDuel 4. And by that, I mean like the fourth overall lineup that our lineup optimizer has produced. But yeah, he's been on the outside looking in. And I think at some point, the price is still low enough where you could bite the bullet on them.
Yeah, he's 6,800 on DraftKings this week going in against Dallas. That is the 9th most expensive wide receiver, and we have him basically as the best points per dollar wide receiver in that range. He might even just be the he's basically best points per dollar guy right now going into this matchup. There's a lot of other little things that kind of need to be configured before we have set projections, obviously, for Sunday. But it's just we kind of avoided it when he went against Jalen Ramsey 2 weeks ago. Didn't totally get there last week, and I'm willing to sort of start going there with him in terms of just how the team is using him, especially with Doyle out too. Just losing another pass catcher, we had translated a lot of that onto Ebron, but maybe did not tick T.Y. up enough. Any of these other games, like guys like Kenny Stills, D.D. Westbrook had big games. I'm not sure how much we want to make of those. Devontae Adams, Keenan Allen, anything else stand out to you from wide receiver?
Yeah, I was looking at Kenny Stills a little bit. You know, Amendola got cleared to play right before game time. He was only targeted a single time, and Stills was targeted 9 times. I think if Stills is going to be used in the possession game at all for Miami, then he'll be an interesting option at a very, very affordable price point. You know, again, like as we go forward, we're going to try and figure out where the cheap value is, right? And this week, actually, quietly, a lot of the cheap value wide receivers were bad. Cortland Sutton was trash. Godwin was garbage. Even Sterling Shepard, you know, he went out there and stuck in the end zone for us, so you'd like to see that. But he also was only targeted 6 times and caught 2 balls for 17 yards. So while there was apparent safety, and, you know, we talked about it on Friday, in that cheap wide receiver class, it didn't manifest that way last week. So the real question for me going into this week is, because, you know, like basically you've had to find some value somewhere in it in order to enable spending up so many times on a single team. And I'd still really, really like to do that at running back, but I'm just not sure where we do it. I mean, Amari Cooper is obviously one. He's going to be more expensive than like we were paying, you know, in the 5,000s for guys like Godwin, Shepard, and the other guy, Cortland Sutton. But yeah, that's where I'm kind of unclear right now. Like, where am I going to get my cheap value? Is it Kenny Stills? Do I believe there? You know, where am I going to get that real savings going forward?
Well, what do we do with Godwin going into this week? Because I haven't really audited Tampa Bay yet, but he got 10 targets. He caught 1 for 13 yards. And it was funny because I read another tweet that said that 9 of Godwin's targets were uncatchable, and the one that was catchable he caught. So, I don't really know what to make of this, because obviously, a 10 target share in a Tampa Bay offense that's shown the ability to pass in the past is worth a hell of a lot, and the price barely moves. He's only up to 4,900. I kind of want to be bullish on the opportunity, and then if you're just going to get wildly inaccurate throws once again from Jameis, I don't even know what to make of it. So it's just one of those things, like, where do we land on a guy like him? Because, like, he, from a target share perspective, he should just be high owned again. Like, there's no way, or right, almost like no way around it. And when you see this kind of conversion issues, and it seems like it's on the back of the quarterback, I don't know what to make of where we land with, like, you know, what kind of opportunity we want to give him.
Yeah, I think Godwin would be the guy you would be the highest on out of that group, just based on the opportunity. I think, you know, you'd want to really do your math, because sometimes there's been countless examples of this throughout time where someone moves into that wide receiver 2 sort of role. They show flashes of potential, but then they are heavily targeted, but then bad in a given week. And then you can see their usage just fall off a cliff because the team basically decides, okay, that isn't working. We just have to stop banging our head against a wall there. So if they actually blame Jameis and the team does too, then that would be a good thing. But it's sometimes hard to know, you know, as an observer, was Godwin, you know, messing up his routes? Like, especially if the balls are outrageously uncatchable, it can be really difficult to know who to place the blame on. So that would be the concern I would have there. But yeah, still very cheap. And I think you can credibly give him 7 or 8 targets or something, and that's going to put him in lineups. Another punt guy that I wanted your take on, and actually there's a whole team worth of guys to have a take on here, and that's the 49ers. I mean, Kittle obviously comes out. You texted me that he's 4 yards off the the tight end.
He was four yards off the tight end. He was 4 yards off the most receiving yards in a game for a tight end in history at halftime. He had 210 yards at halftime. 4 yards away, 210 yards. They didn't even target him again. The coach came out, Shanahan came out and apologized publicly after the game and said, like, they should have just basically forced one or two more balls into him to get him the record. And I don't blame him for, like, I'm sort of glad that he apologized, because, like,
they acknowledged it. Yeah,
you get one chance, and, like, he was just running completely over that team, and they just couldn't even find a way to get him the ball. Nine targets. He was a guy. Our system, I kept having to, I feel so almost like silly, because I kept having to lower him, like, in our system, because I just, like, I don't know, guys like Ebron and Gronk and even Kelsey were guys I was feeling a little bit more comfortable with than Kittle going into the game. And then obviously he hit value on basically essentially the first play that he caught the ball. And then by the second catch or third catch he had completely crushed it. I mean, this 49ers aren't a team that really interests me at all.
What about Dante Pettis, though? I mean, Dante Pettis now, 4 touchdowns in the last 3 weeks, 7 targets in each of those weeks, very cheap. I agree with you. I have not played any 49ers yet, except for Jeffrey Wilson on DraftKings, but there's now kind of value at 3 positions here, right? Like, if you can think about Wilson, if you can think about Pettis, and Kittle. Like, are there three 49ers we can play, even with a crazy quarterback situation?
Oof, I don't know. I don't have any conviction on it this early on Tuesday morning. This is not someone that I kind of I'm all that excited to play. This not a terrible. I mean, not excuse me, not a great matchup going into Seattle this week. Again, I'm with you that he's cheap. I'm actually more interested. This is an interesting team. I'm going to have to kind of look at this a little more closely.
Yeah, I like Wilson. We skipped over Wilson, a running back, but 23 carries last week.
Yeah, they clearly wanted to make him the guy. This is in a game where they were winning early in this game, but 25 total touches. He's another guy I'm going to be bullish on the overall opportunity. We did see two targets in the passing game, and the key for him though was with Breida out, and I believe Breida's going to miss again. He had 62 snaps. The next closest running back, Morris, had 4 snaps. So this is like the fullback. I can never say this guy's name, Juzicic. He had 42 snaps as well, but they used him more in the passing game. I think the 49ers are an interesting team. I'm actually wondering your thoughts on the Broncos, because Cortland Sutton is a guy that we wanted to play, and a lot of people did. He was heavy chalk, and it made sense with Emmanuel Sanders going down.
Yeah, it was 55% in kind
of. Yeah, and I think that made a lot of sense. And then he sees the fourth most targets on the team, only goes for 2 for 14 yards on 6 targets. Yeah. Tim Patrick and Deshaun Hamilton were the guys. Those guys combined for 19 targets, caught 14 total for about 130 yards and a touchdown between the two of them. I mean, are these guys just we kind of talked about them a little bit and said, you can take a stab on one of these guys, and I'm not going to trust anything out of this passing game until I see a week out of it. But is this 1 week enough to have seen to say, oh, maybe these guys are going to be the pass catchers, or are we going to see a return to Cortland Sutton? Because that's just kind of what can happen in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, you brought up Hamilton on the Friday podcast, and I dismissed it out of hand. The guy had been getting 1 or 2 targets a game, and we've seen that desperate times can call for desperate measures. I will say for Denver, these guys were down 20 points at halftime, and that can really shake a team up and make them change up the plan. And that's for that reason, I don't want to take too much away from it. Likewise, Philip Lindsay was just god awful in the first half, 14 carries for 30 yards total over the course of the whole game. I don't know, man. It was a really weird situation for that game. That's one that I want to chalk up to kind of a bizarre game script game and move on from it. But yeah, you're going to see value here, and I think you'll absolutely see people try and speculate on this, if not for cash, at least for big tournaments.
All right, let's finish this off with some running backs. I think we see another week where what we have posited in the past to be true just maintains its truthiness, I guess, is that there's a group of running backs that are
Derrick
so far...
Henry.
I was going to say, except for Derrick Henry. there's a group of running backs that are just head and shoulders above the rest of the league in terms of how their teams want to use them, and it's not even particularly close. And going into Sunday, we said that group is, on the main slate, is Zeke, Barkley, McCaffrey. Now, Zeke gets 41 touches and somehow doesn't find the end zone. Gets there on value just because he touched the ball so many times. He had 28 carries, had 13 targets, ended up with like 190 total yards. he hits value, especially in PBR, because like, he just had 12 catches. Like the plan. Was dump off to Zeke or throw down the field to Cooper. That was the entire game. Then we had McCaffrey, who had 23 touches. That's actually, I'll pat myself on the back. I had him for 16 carries and 7.5 targets. He had 16 carries and 7 targets.
I took the under, so I got there, but yeah, you were close.
And then Barkley, he touched the ball only 18 times, and I'm only saying only because he didn't even play the second half. So he was at value just on those two huge runs, and they were using him. The Redskins just couldn't do anything to keep the game close, and that game was over for him by the time they hit halftime. So I don't even, I'm not adjusting. If anything, I'm going to adjust. I almost want to adjust his touches up if Odell is out again, if he's going to play a whole game. Are we at a point now, Barkley and Zeke are on the main slate this week. Some of these other guys like McCaffrey and Gurley are not. Are these guys just so far above the rest of the group in terms of prioritizing running backs that we say, look, we'll take our chances somewhere at wide receiver, but you just kind of have to play these two guys in cash at this point?
Yeah, I think that's my general sentiment, is that you just get so much safety from there that I wouldn't want to upgrade from, I don't know, Godwin up to some $6,900 wide receiver or whatever and have to go from, you know, Saquon Barkley to Dalvin Cook, which is in one of our lineups now. Right. You know, like, that's not something I would want to mess with. As long as I can find suitable players at these other positions, particularly quarterback, that would be the main thing I would be looking at. But looking at lineups right now, I mean, they're pretty grisly. I know part of that is because we're not fully updated for cornerback matchups and a number of things going into week 2. But what do you, like, we skipped over Sterling Shepard. Is this... is this just too much weirdness around a game where the Giants were leading by 40 points? Would we still trust him? Like, it was very weird to me that Beckham could be out and Shepard would do legitimately nothing except for accidentally score a touchdown.
Yeah, that's going to be something I'm going to need to evaluate. Like, usually at this point on Tuesday, I've done a pretty full audit of our system for NFL. By the time we hit this podcast, today's like this is like the 1 week where I haven't. So it's hard for me to comment a little bit. I do think Beckham was ruled out so late that I actually wouldn't be shocked if he just came back this week. So I'm not – this is something I'm going to have to evaluate. I mean, Sterling Shepard still led the team in targets. He had 6 targets. The conversion rate was terrible. It was only 2 for 17. Yeah. This is going to be
something.
That's going
to happen, though, when Eli's your quarterback, right?
It is. I mean, some other guys didn't have the same issues. I mean, like – Ingram went 3 for 5 and Saquon went 4 for 5. I know these aren't the same routes. So overall, Manning wasn't terribly inefficient. He was actually pretty good. It was just right. He wasn't particularly good to Sterling Shepard except outside of the touchdown. This will be one I'll have to evaluate. I'm still bullish on his target share if Beckham were to be out, just because, again, he did lead the team in targets. And the nature of his routes is usually going to mean something better than, you know, 33% conversion rates on those. So I don't know. That's kind of where I land on this. But I think I'm mostly just thinking from a running back's perspective. It's going to be very hard for me to think about fading, getting away from those two guys. Now, there are other guys that were on this list in terms of just decent overall usage. Joe Mixon was one of them. Mixon touched the ball 32 times this week for Cincinnati. Cincinnati's not good, so that's a problem, a problematic thing for them. They still have Jeff Driscoll, but they're actually favorites at home against the Raiders this week. And we just saw a game with Mixon, 30 carries. Is he a guy, like, would we want to possibly even go down this road of saying, okay, Barkley, Elliott, and Mixon? Because Mixon's only 6,100 on DraftKings. That is, now Barkley and Elliott are 94 and 9,000. That's going to be a tough pull, I think. It's maybe a little bit different on FanDuel. But how close to this group would you want to put Mixon, knowing that he gets a phenomenal match, be 7,800 on FanDuel?
Yeah, I like Mixon. I think, you know, he reminds me of Nick Chubb in this way, in that the team just really wants to use him even when it's not totally appropriate. So if you can forecast a game script where it'll be more appropriate to use him, then you probably just want to play him. So, yeah, I think he'll be relatively highly owned and for good reason.
Yep, it's going to be interesting with that, because if you start thinking about the Barkley, Mixon, Elliott trifecta of running backs, you're going to take some hits at wide receiver for sure, but it actually looks like, at least on FanDuel, it might be doable. Like I said, on DraftKings, I don't think that's going to be the case. All right, we're going to get out of here. I'm going to start auditing some football for this week. We'll be back on Thursday talking some cash game plays, and then on Friday doing the game-by-game breakdown. I think we're going to do that
live. And we'll be back tomorrow for NBA, buddy.
And NBA tomorrow. All these will be live podcasts.
Cool. You mean in the flesh.
It'll be face-to-face. It won't be this over-the-camera thing or over the podcast wire, as you hear. All right, we're going to get out of here. DLeagueFantasySportsRankings.com is the site. DFSR.com/deals. We'll get you started on that free 7-day trial with optimal lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings, NFL, NBA, premium chat, premium content. It's all covered under one subscription pack. Oh, NHL Optimizer as well. I forgot to mention that. All covered under one subscription package. Go find a better deal in the industry and then come back to me when you can't find it and you're with us for the long haul. DFSR.com/deals. Buddy, I will see you this evening on the podcast for NBA tomorrow. Talk to you later.
Please.